You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I'm super excited for today's guest, Jeremy Wise, all the way traveling from Chicago, Illinois, just to shoot here on Making Bank today. So Jeremy, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, cool. I know most people know who you are, what you do, and everything else.
Most people probably don't know who I am.
there's maybe a minute 1% that don't. So if you could kind of give them like who you are, what you do, and just really what's really so cool about you.
Sure. Dr. Jeremy Wise. I have a chiropractic and massage office in Chicago. I also run a podcast, Inspired Insider, and I run a group called Rise 25, where we do entrepreneur retreats for high-level entrepreneurs all over the country.
And so I guess, so you're a chiropractor, right? And so what really kind of got you that passion, that inspiration on that entrepreneurial journey? Because you don't see, like, you have chiropractors, and that's what they're really good at, but then you have some that cross over, and then you have some that are really good entrepreneurs as well.
Yeah. Well, I think, as far as starting my own business, I always kind of had that, from growing up, selling things, but I think later on, I found myself working in a couple of positions, and I always wanted to make tweaks and improve things, and then you don't have the control to do it. Like, like yourself, you're always into optimizing productivity, and you could see things, how they can be done a better way, and so, after a little while, you realize, well, you just have, I just venture out and do it that better way. So it's not always easy because, you are taking the risk and you're putting it on the line. If you don't get patients or you don't sell something, then you don't eat. So it becomes motivating to learn all the marketing and online and offline.
Cool. Yeah. And so what do you, for your practice and everything, what have you found that's worked really well? I mean, because obviously you do, in different marketing aspects and things like that to drive patients in, but also following up and making sure, you provide the best solutions for them and everything else.
One thing that's worked really well, I mean, obviously using automation to communicate with patients. So, obviously the email marketing or even text message marketing. Okay. So, but one thing is people think it's got to be really complicated. You have to set up this web page and set up these funnels. And for us, it's really just coming with giving a patient specifically what they want. So when a patient calls in to book an appointment, we want to send them the location of the office. So automating the things that you find yourself repeating on a daily basis or weekly basis. So those are the things we look at, how do we automate? So someone who wants the office location, and this could be applied to any business, of course, you just get frequently asked questions. And their appointment time. So what we did was we just manually actually enter in their email into the autoresponder sequence.
Sure.
We don't make them opt in. It's like, okay, your name, your email, and then that automatically puts them on our list.
Sure.
And we tell them you're going to be getting an email, and then that sends them all the things that they're going to ask anyway.
Okay.
So, we manually do it, but then that's one thing, so not to overcomplicate the technical side of things. And then, from there we communicate with the newsletter and health and everything else. So it's just automating the things that we repeat over and over again.
Awesome. Yeah. And so maybe a couple things that have set you guys apart from other chiropractors with, how you attract patients and then how you, deliver, overall, I guess, better value.
Yeah. I mean, for me, and I know you're the same way, it's all about customer service, and it's all about making it very personal to them. So, I always tell people from the very first time interactions, if you, have any questions for any reason, you see a YouTube video, you see a link online, you see something on Amazon, email us, and we'll, send us a link, we'll take a look and get back to you. So if it's good for you, it's bad for you, it's a waste of money, or if it's not, and they feel like they have a trusted advisor. It's not just someone, they, I said, even people who come in from out of state, I said, listen, use us as a trusted advisor. You should,
right.
You know, because it's not often like you email your doctor and you can get a response back within 3 hours, and they can do that. So
cool.
They feel like they have, I like to think they have a trusted advisor, even if they have family member have questions. And there's no expectation, right?
Sure.
It's a give, no matter what, with zero expectations on if you'd never come in again, even if you're leaving
okay.
or out of state. We're here to help as far as answering any of your questions. So it's more of like a customer service.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's
aspect.
Cool. Yeah. No, and I think that was really key, kind of what you mentioned, is the trusted advisor. And I think a lot of times in business, we you know, when we have clients or we have customers or anything else, we kind of we lose that. We don't even actually ever implement something like that. Is, you know, hey, you can count on us because we're going to be able to help answer this or help guide you in the right way, even if it doesn't benefit us directly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess what led you down the path that made to that realization?
You know, I think one thing that's important to me is mentors. And so I,
okay.
you know, modeling and some people that I highly respect, one of the people, and you know, Brian Kurtz, I consider
yeah.
him a mentor and a friend, and he has this like 100% zero, like you just give and you expect zero in return.
Sure.
And, you know, first of all, it's selfish in a way because you feel good by just giving and
right.
not expecting anything in return. But the reality is, you know, it's just a goodwill, like when you're helping someone and they can sense, you know, the nature of you're not expecting anything in return. So
sure.
for me, it's just following, modeling people, and you see what got people to a certain level of success.
Right.
And the people that I, are mentors of me that I follow, and that's what they do. They just, they, you see them give and expect nothing in return mm-hmm. just because they want to help.
Sure.
You know?
No, and I think mentorship is huge. I know, especially for myself and growing up and everything else, I've always tried to find different people I could align with from a mentorship perspective. And you know, I don't think enough people do that or make that investment back in themselves. And that's cool to see you doing that. What, you know, or maybe your top two or three things from mentorship that you learned, and then how has that helped accelerate, you know, what you do in your business as well as your personal life?
Yeah, so what I've learned from mentorship, yeah. I mean, one thing is just keeping fresh with the latest technology, what's going on. But it even goes back to, I'm trying to think of top mentors, and it could be distant mentors
sure.
and personal mentors. The biggest thing for him, again, is the zero, you know, 100 zero, just
right.
giving. What else has been the biggest things I've taken away from mentorship that's a good question. It's, I mean, the modeling and with Brian, it's really just keeping fresh with looking at who are in the past has been mm-hmm. successful with what I want to do. So
okay.
it's, you know, even with its marriage or whether it's business,
sure.
I wanted to follow people who are the kind of the complete package. They're not just someone who was like 100% driven and they were super wealthy, but their home life fell
right.
apart.
For
and
sure.
so for me, it was that complete package because the most important thing is actually family. So
right.
I wanted to listen from advice from where they had everything intact, essentially.
Right.
But, I mean, one of the biggest mentors I had was my grandfather. He was
okay.
a Holocaust survivor. And so
oh, wow.
I remember the Steven Spielberg Foundation went around and interviewed to capture the stories.
Sure.
And so I still watch his video. And so I consider him a mentor because of what he went through. I mean, his whole family was lost except for his brother. And he was in concentration camps for
right.
years. And so one thing that struck me at the end of his interview was, you know, after basically your whole family's killed and you are living in the woods for an extended period of time
sure.
with nothing, and he came out of that and one of the things he said at the end of this interview is you just have to love people. And so for me,
wow.
I was like, if that happened to me and these people you know, destroyed everything, and
right.
then you come out with the almost like you just want to love people.
Yeah.
So that also goes back into the 100% zero, which is like he has every reason and right to
sure.
hate. And what he did was he did the opposite and just
yeah.
wanted to fuel the love. And so And the other thing is I always have, and I know you do, is gratitude. The gratitude, right. Because for him to go through that, and I can never think, okay, I have a tough day today.
Yeah.
Right? So that is like a reference point
sure.
for, damn, I lost a customer, or shoot, something happened.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, my family wasn't killed and I wasn't living in the woods. So like at age 13, so what do I have to complain about? You know?
Right.
So it gives me a reference point for gratitude
yeah.
Of, okay, is it really that bad? Like someone emailed me the other day about a business thing and they said, urgent. And I'm like, if a family is not sick or dying, like it's not urgent. Okay.
Right.
Don't put that in emails because I'm going to be worried that something's wrong with what's really important.
Yeah.
So it's kind of having that reference point for what's important and having gratitude, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's super powerful. I mean, especially coming out of that and you know, just have to love people. And I think a lot of times that we tend to lose sight of that because there's so much other stuff that gets in the way and there's so much noise and distraction.
Yeah, and I think people are always struggling with something, whether it's life or business.
Right.
And if we have not just gratitude, but you know, if we have a reference point of something else out there is probably someone right. struggling with a much worse condition. We, you know, on Facebook or social media, you see all these people. You were comparing ourselves in a way that people are obtaining these whatever success with
comparing to their highlight reel.
Yeah, their highlight reel. But I mean, sometimes internally we should compare to people who just don't have as much as
right.
we have and have gratitude towards it.
For sure.
So
no, I think that's amazing. And like you said, with gratitude and you know having those different reference points. And it was interesting. We were in a conversation the other night, and we started talking about the 5-day water fast that you and I ended up talking about,
right.
you know, on your show. And what
you
a couple of
for food.
Well, it was just
right?
one of the guys was just like, man, he goes, I just don't really know if I could do that. And you know, and then as we got to the end of the discussion, he was like, wow, I can actually see what you mean, and you know, and how that just having gratitude in general with you know my health and where I'm at, and then utilizing those you know having that mindset to push through those different challenges and
yeah.
stuff, and you know what you say to yourself.
Yeah, you for know, him to say I can't do that, but
he already cut himself out of
yeah.
it. Yeah, yeah, and so like you know having that reference point and knowing like hey, I know I can do this. Yeah, it's gonna suck at times.
Right.
It's gonna be hard at times. You know whether it's family. I mean, you know I. You know, my family's amazing and awesome, but I mean, there's times you're like, man, this is, it's just a tough day or
right.
a tough minute. And, you know, I don't ever look at it as a tough day. It's just having to be a tough minute. And it's all about you reframe and how you, you know, look at that mindset
yeah.
stuff. And just like your grandfather is like, he came out of that super bad conditions, everything, but he loves, you know, he just wants to love people and
yeah.
have that in his heart.
I couldn't believe that when he said that. I'm like, I would hate everyone.
right. I mean, it's
maybe
just,
I wouldn't, but yeah.
Yeah. It's just that first thing. So, no, I think that's definitely some, you know, powerful insights and, you know, and things that you've brought, you know, to the show today. So that's super cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, through so with your mentorship, I'm going to just pop back over there for a second.
Yeah.
Do you have different mentors kind of focus more for family, you know, say marketing, you know, business, or do you just find that try to find that one or two for that complete package?
Yeah, I mean both. I mean, I follow someone,
sure.
People in specific, you know, whether it's health and I'm interested in something. But I don't know. I like the complete package too. You know,
okay.
if I'm following someone, it's hard. You know, I don't know. The word balance, I struggle with
right.
A lot because I feel like I'm never balanced. Like I feel if I'm really hard charging with my health, I'm like leaving other things
okay,
that I'm doing.
Sure.
If I'm really hard charged with the business, I'm focused on that, and you know, then you're not spending as much time. I'm not spending as much time with family and
right.
Kids and wife, and so it's like a constant. I feel like I go on these spurts. Like maybe I'll go, you know, for 3 days, I just will be hardcore on the business, but then take like a full day with the family.
Right.
So I feel like completely out of balance, but
okay.
like on those days, they kind of go extremes out of balance, you know, whether it's
right.
family or business, if that makes sense. So for me, but it's, I always like to be among people who, I guess the value is there
sure.
For family and obviously health, and then, you know, from there, because I don't know who said it, you probably know this, if you don't have your health, you have, you know, that's the only thing you want, right?
Right.
And if you have your health, then you can want everything else. But the health, is the most important.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah, and one of the things you mentioned kind of was the whole balance thing, and I know that was one thing that for me too, just years ago, I had struggled with, and then happened to talk to somebody that was a mentor and everything, and he said it's not about balance, it's about integration.
Mm.
And so since then, I was like, man. So I've always tried to integrate, whether it's family, whether it's business, whether it's health, and I think I've taken the role of, okay, cool, I can be a leader in this area and all these different areas, and so my kids, they want to, they work out every morning with me, so we're participating together.
Right, right.
But also pushing
you
towards
health. You optimize everything. Right. Yeah. So
yeah. And then, business. Yeah. So they see what we do in business and marketing. They're like, oh, well, how can we do that? And, or whether it's taking to events and things. And so trying to integrate, for me, that's worked really well. And trying to integrate everything together. I mean, it's never going to be, there's always going to be something out of balance if you try to balance. It's just like that, the whole teeter-totter, this side. Or
right,
this
exactly.
Side. And then you're always going to have that frustrations of, man, how do I keep this in balance? How do I really? So for me, what's worked, like I said, is the whole integration.
That's a good
that
way
mindset,
to put it, yeah.
And then figuring out, okay, how can I best integrate? How can I lead in these areas? Whether it's spiritual, whether it's health and fitness, whether it's business, whether it's just home and being the best dad and husband and everything else as well.
No,
so.
Yeah, that's I love the integration thing, and it goes into productivity too. Like
right.
You want to incorporate it into your life, so it's not. You can maximize whatever you're doing.
Sure. Yeah, whether it's your energy, your time, and everything else, for sure. Cool. Tell us a little bit. So you have a show as well, a podcast and everything. Tell us a little bit about what it is, what it does.
Inspired Insider was, where I interview entrepreneurs, and I kind of like to focus on the big challenges they had overcome. And it's sort
okay.
of, the motivation was because of my grandfather. It left when he did the interview, it left a legacy for him. And so I can still watch it.
Sure.
And so that's even though I have, people like you on it, are really successful. I always envision just it leaving a legacy for people. And so, and I like to hear about the challenges. So not just like, everything that went well. I know we had the conversation. I like to know
right.
what things, didn't go well, because oftentimes you learn a lot more from that. So,
for sure.
So I like to have just different founders have done cool things. Some of the interesting ones are people no one has ever heard of. I interviewed the founder of Atari and Einstein Bagels.
Cool.
But I remember this one guy, and it goes into the gratitude thing. His name was Chris Ategeka, and he was basically started a nonprofit in Africa called CA Bikes. And he started because, when they're traveling to the hospital, it could be like a 6 or 7 mile walk,
right?
And so if someone's under distress, that's a long time.
Yeah.
So one of his siblings died on the way to the hospital, so he created refurbished bikes that turn them into bike ambulances to
wow.
wheel them.
Cool.
I mean, this will eventually be made into, I swear, one of those Disney movies, like remember the Titans?
Right. Yeah.
I even called producers. I'm like, you need to make this movie. But we probably know some people who could do this.
Yeah,
but right. But what's interesting is he won, he was living in a hut with like whatever, 7 of his family members,
right.
And he won a lottery ticket to go to the U.S. to go to school. And so he never owned or worn a pair of shoes until he was 18. So he was on
wow.
the flight over. And I remember him telling the story that the stewardess walked by and handed him a bottle of water. And he thought like God descended from the heavens, because he's used to walking, like 7
finding
miles,
water,
pumping the
yeah.
well, getting the water, going back, and someone just boom.
Wow.
And it was something we take for granted,
sure.
but for him, it was something that was, he didn't take it for granted.
Right.
And so, just hearing that story, and then he goes over to the U.S., he goes to Berkeley, then he gets a PhD at Berkeley, he starts 2 nonprofits and a for-profit company, and you're like, what excuse do I have to not do something?
Yeah.
Like, look at where he started out, and look at where he because it's kind of like that mindset thing with the guys, like, I don't know if I could do the water fast. Well,
right.
if someone else did it who maybe is in less shape or in less health than you, you could probably do it, you know? So just hearing some of those stories of just overcoming, it just motivates me and inspires me, so.
And that's cool because he didn't really have set limitations, you know, where we a lot of times start to do. It's a little too far, and
you're walking like 7 miles, pumping the well, that's normal.
Right. So now he has this opportunity when he gets here, and it's
100%
just wide open for him.
Yeah, and he'll do whatever it takes. I mean, that's what, you know, he'll not sleep as much or do whatever it takes to get there.
That's super cool. And so I guess tell us where they can check your show out. And
yeah, inspiredinsider.com. You can check it out.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. I know we got a few minutes left. And since you mentioned it, dive in. What was one of your biggest challenges, and what did you learn from it? You know, through your business, through your life, whatever.
Let's see. That's a good question. Big challenge. I mean, sort of. I learned one thing is to take control. One big challenge I remember early on with the. There's a lot of big. There's a lot of challenges. Every day is a challenge.
Sure.
I mean, yesterday for our party we were trying to find a Moana, and that took 3 hours. But that's a minor challenge. But. You know, one of the things was, I remember when I was practicing, and the guy who owned the building just, he didn't really give me a lot of notice.
Okay.
Sold the building, and so I had to really, for me, it's redundancy, so always having a backup plan.
Okay.
But it was a challenge at the time. I was looking for space just because I'm always keeping my finger, just in case. Like, just I'm paranoid.
Expansion.
You know, as an entrepreneur, whatever, I feel like one of my strongest skills is being paranoid that something's going to happen. So I put a redundancy in place. And so I was looking for space. There was no reason.
Right.
I was just like, I don't have control of that fully.
Sure.
And so I was looking for space. And they basically like, yeah, you got to get out of here in like 60 days. And, you know, that's your business, right?
Yeah,
brick and mortar. You've had brick and mortar.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was luckily had been looking, and I was looking to buy a space because I didn't want someone to have control over my destiny. And so it was a huge challenge because I had to move out in 60-day time. Luckily, I was working on something in the background, but I had to get out. And so what I did was they kicked me out. On a Saturday, I didn't want to shut down any one day of patient care.
Yeah.
So they shut me down on Saturday. I got the moving truck, and I had I got some, you know, developers that just sped up the construction at the place I got. And as soon as Saturday night, all day Sunday, I got like five people, friends, whoever, and we just moved all the equipment. And Monday morning, we were ready for business.
Nice.
But I was stressed beyond belief for that whole couple months. And just big challenges, but I try and keep redundancy in place.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, redundancy, that's a good, I think that's a good takeaway for sure from that. So, awesome. Where can they find out a little bit more about you? You just wanted to go to the podcast?
Yeah, you can go to inspiredinsider.com. Also, rise25.com, where we do entrepreneur events all over the country. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
And then maybe just one last insider advice or something from you for our audience.
Big thing for me is I'm always trying to learn, and I'm learning from, you know, so for me, I use Audible personally, and I listen to like 3 to 6 books per week. And so just learning different aspects, just learning from other people and what they're doing, because they spent the time and years, like some people are pouring 30, 40 years of their career into this book, and then I get to listen to it for 3 to 4 hours or 5 hours. I'm gleaning all of this, their big mistakes and their successes. So I think the biggest takeaway for me is, listening to your podcast, same thing. Like you're gleaning from some of the top minds and just learning from them. So for me, it's just either subscribe to your podcast, some of the good podcasts out there, and go on Audible and just consume what other people have done before us.
Awesome. And do you listen at 2 or 3 times speed?
Two and a half times.
Nice.
Speed, yes.
So that's another hack.
Yeah, exactly. You can do that on Audible.
That's right.
If you're saying you have to start a little slower, then you're wrong, because Josh does it.
Two and a half times.
You get one and a half, you go to 1.5, then you go to 2, then you go to 2.5, and you just...
Yep. You know, your brain just starts to...
Two
and a half seems like, oh, it's normal speed.
When you go to 1.5, it turns fast at first, but then it seems slow. And then you keep bumping it up.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I hope you guys had your notepads out, taking lots of notes down. If not, rewind, go back, listen, watch this again over and over and over. Jeremy was able to just pack this full of really awesome insights and actionable things that you can take and start using today. So, Dr. Jeremy Wise, really appreciate you coming on the show today, my friend.
And thank you for having
me, Josh. Thanks again. So, I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.